This is a process, and if we can catch the process sooner than later, then the management gets to be a lot easier. And to an extent, you could put this into, quote, remission and really not have any issues. What I will say with this, though, is unless someone's listening and they know of otherwise, there is no cure for autoimmunity. Well, all right, everyone, welcome back to the Dr. Alex Show. And today, just me, but we're going to be talking about a topic that is really misunderstood, not really understood well in a lot of regards, and definitely underserved. And that is, in general, autoimmunity. And when it comes to autoimmunity, for instance, one of my main academic mentors, I have read many of his books, Dr. Karazian, Dr. Karazian. He had stated in one of his books that when it comes to, for instance, Hashimoto's, which is autoimmune hypothyroiditis, which we'll go over a little later, there's probably more people walking around the United States with that or hypothyroidism in general than there are type 2 diabetes. So to kind of wrap your head around that, just the prevalence of autoimmune diseases in general. And that's just one condition with the thyroid, generally speaking, adults. So when it comes to autoimmunity, this is still going to be a good show for most everyone, because if you're a parent, autoimmunity in a lot of regards is on the rise with some kids. And if you're a parent, then one thing you got to do is, as we like to say at HML, is got to put your mask on first when you are in an airplane, right? You have to take care of yourself. And that might mean that one day you might be finding yourself in a doctor's office figuring out some chronic health issue of yours, and it might end up being an autoimmune disease. Or you might be listening and someone in your life, a loved one or a friend or otherwise, is going through their journey trying to figure out what is going on with their health. And it could be very, very well, it could be autoimmune disease. So first and foremost, when it comes to autoimmunity, auto is self and immune system is immune system. So it means that the immune system is attacking your body. And we'll go over the how does it happen here in a bit, but this can happen in all bodily systems. So if we have autoantibodies, meaning we have B cells, we have B lymphocytes, or a lot of people have come to understood a lot of nowadays after COVID, these B lymphocytes make antibodies, and we can make autoantibodies towards ourselves. These autoantibodies can go towards brain tissue, you can go after your pancreas, and that would be called type 1 diabetes. If it goes after your brain again, sorry, in the adult world, we're talking multiple sclerosis. In the child world or the pediatric world, the topic of PANS or PANDAS comes up, and we have a whole show on that. There's other situations. And if it goes after your adrenal glands, that's autoimmune adrenal gland dysfunction. If it goes after your skin, that could be psoriasis. If it goes after, let's say, your liver, then you could be having detoxification issues based on autoantibodies going after your liver. If it goes after your red blood cells, that's pernicious anemia. If it, goes after your joints, now we're talking psoriatic arthritis or rheumatoid arthritis. If you're a child and it's going after your joints, then that is what they used to once call juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, but now it's idiopathic juvenile arthritis. And the list goes on. So what I want to talk about is the mechanism, how that occurs, because it's pretty important to understand, and what all can be done about it. And why is it underserved? And that's where I kind of want to start. And that's where the heartbreak of all of this is. Because in the Western world here in the United States, for if there is anyone listening outside of the country, outside of the U.S., that is very humbling to think of that. If that is the case, That's amazing. Please contact me. I'd love to hear what you think. Dr. Alex at hmlfunctionalcare.com. I would just absolutely be elated. Or anyone else at any time, please. But when it comes to autoimmunity in the Western world here, there's no autoimmunologist. Like, I'm leaving that air blank for a reason. There is not a specialist in the medical system that works with autoimmunity. There can be certain practitioners, for instance, a rheumatologist, because one of the more common autoimmune diseases in adulthood, at least, is anything related to rheumatism. So as an adult, you might get sent to a rheumatologist. You might get sent to an ENT. ENTs deal with some issues with autoimmunity at times, depending on what their scope is and what they're allowed to do, and do they have extra training in it. The other one would be an endocrinologist, because going back again to Hashimoto's, it could be a endocrinologist that'll help you out the most with your Hashimoto's, or it might just be your PCP, or it could be a functional medicine specialist or some other medical doctor or medical provider who has figured out the same thing that's occurring in our medical system and have built a practice around helping people manage their autoimmunity. But there is no specialist, which is a really odd situation. Even with some immunologists, you can get some answers, but autoimmunity involves several things. It involves your genetics. It involves your lifestyle. It involves your immune system. And with autoimmunity in general, it, quote, starts in the gut, simply put. So it could involve a gastroenterologist. But there is no IST, as we say, for autoimmunity. And a lot of my practitioner friends and colleagues that practice anything related to functional medicine, they find themselves probably helping a lot of people with autoimmunity and managing that because of it. So just a little heads up there. And that brings up the next point, which is when it comes to autoimmunity, there really isn't a textbook when it comes to your disease or your symptom. When we work with children with PANS, pediatric acute neuropsychiatric syndrome, what's going on there is their little immune systems have created autoantibodies to go after their brain, which is just devastating. And that can lead to very severe psychological symptoms, massive depression, anxiety, debilitating anxiety and depression, humongous mood swings, emotional lability through the roof, behaviors that are very odd, kicking, throwing, screaming. In our episode last season, we talked about how one patient quite literally had the strength to push an island off of its foundation across the kitchen, an island that is bolted down to the subfloor of a kitchen. He took it off the foundation. Just unbelievable. And that's because those autoantibodies were going after the areas in his brain where the most blood flow is, which is the brainstem and the limbic centers, and it was just running amok and lighting it up like a Christmas tree, and there was nothing to control it. And when it comes to not having a textbook, it's because, for instance, with PANS or PANDAS, all these kids have just an array of symptoms. They're all a little different. And when you go and you check symptom checklists of these things, you may not meet all the criteria, but you might meet all of the laboratory testing criteria, but all of the symptoms may not line up. And that's just because if there is a textbook for autoimmunity, it could be 6 inches thick, and the very first thing it's going to say is that rule one, it's going to do what it wants, when it wants, how it wants, pretty much. And from there, it's almost like good luck. And then the rest of that 6-inch book is all about how to understand what's going on and how to manage it. Now, when it comes to adults, one of the more common autoimmune situations is Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And when it comes to Hashimoto's, for instance, you could have huge amounts of fatigue. You may not, however, be gaining a lot of weight or even losing your hair, but you could have the symptom of massive fatigue. Everything else checks out, pulsing autoantibody testing lab work, and lo and behold, you have autoantibodies going after your thyroid. And that just happened about 6 weeks ago with one of my patients, and it would have been greatly missed if we didn't say, hey, let's test it. I mean, what's 23 extra dollars for one set of antibodies, and I think $36 for the other one. So what's about $50 or $60 to be able to figure out, do you have some autoimmunity or not? It's really nothing. So typically when it comes to Hashimoto's, you're going to have hair loss, you're going to have weight gain, you're going to have depression, you're going to have fatigue, you're going to have all of the hypo or low functioning thyroid issues. But then on top of that, you're going to have oddball sensitivity problems to foods you eat, drinks you drink, the air you breathe, and anything that can get in your body because your immune system is out of whack. Think of your immune system almost like a teeter-totter, and I'm kind of in front of the camera holding my hand up. What we have to do is take that teeter-totter and make sure we have even weight on each side. But with autoimmunity, the immune system is swinging heavy towards one side, usually. And what that leads to is an overactivity of B lymphocytes and antibodies, and that overactivity or that heaviness or extra weight on that side of that teeter-totter is going to lead to chronic, consistent, or waxing and waning responses to go after your bodily tissue that it's going after. And on the note of Hashimoto's, for instance, how, again, profound this is, it's just incredible. It's mainly going to hit women, and there's a host of reasons behind that. But Hashimoto's thyroiditis is actually the most common thyroid condition. So 90% of the time, at least here in America, 90% of thyroid issues in America are hypothyroidism. And then 90% of those are Hashimoto's or Hashi's. And this does not get taken care of very well. So for the adults that do have hypothyroidism, please perk up now, or anyone that knows anyone. What you have to know is if you've been diagnosed with Hashimoto's, you probably went into your endocrinologist or your PC. They said, yep, let's run some labs. Comes back, hey, you have Hashimoto's. So here's some armor, or here's some levothyroxine. Either way, what they're giving you is what's called T4, which is the hormone that your thyroid produces. And what they're trying to do there is get your thyroid function to go up, because most of the time the immune system with Hashi's is going after the thyroid or after the protein or after the hormone itself. And it is causing low thyroid function. Well, if you picked up on it, nothing's going on, no one's doing anything for what that immune system is doing. They're just giving you the T4, and then they're going to monitor your blood every year, or if things are bad, maybe every 6 months, you have to pull what your thyroid is doing, your TSH and T4, and go from there. And what the standard of care is, unfortunately, is once it gets to a certain point, they might continue raising your medication and how much T4 you need, or levothyroxine, maybe give you some steroids to calm you down. And then from there, it could be, let's take the thyroid out, because they can feed you full of T4, because your thyroid gives out T4 primarily. And then your body will sense that there's T4 in the system, and your metabolism could be within range or close to range in theory. But all the while, nothing's being done about the immune system. So for instance, to explain what we would do for Hashimoto's on this note, or any thyroid or any, sorry, autoimmune problem, we'd first figure out, like, okay, this is indeed Hashi's, okay? We might pull some other lab work to look at what the immune system is doing to see other parts of it. But then we might start diving into the fun functional medicine testing, where if autoimmunity, for instance, starts in the gut, then let's look at stools tests. Let's look at organic acids tests. Let's look at leaky gut tests, and let's see what that gut's doing. Because with the stages of autoimmunity, you have what is called silent autoimmunity, meaning the immune system is starting to get a little out of whack, and that teeter-totter is starting to not be as level. We're starting to gain some weight on one side. And when that occurs, you're not going to have symptoms, and the lab work is going to be on the outer edges of medical range, or one of them, one of the numbers here or there might be out of medical range, but it's not going to be enough for our medical colleagues to do anything. And then fast forward a couple of years, maybe a decade, whatever the timeline is, and then you can move into the next stage, which is called autoimmune reactivity. Hey everyone, Dr. Alex here with the Dr. Alex Show, and I want to say a special thanks to Dr. Griswold with Shed Light Cold Lasers. The Dr. Alex Show would not happen without Dr. Griswold supporting us, and I wanted to say thanks before we launch our second season to Dr. Griswold personally. We would not have the success we do in office without our lasers. They are the workhorse of our office. They get so much work done for us. They help us out in so many ways with what seems like countless conditions. And probably the worst thing that happens is we run out of lasers and we run out of battery power because we forget to charge them. But these things are an absolute must for all practitioners. And it's an absolute must if you are someone who has an health issue that would like to have an alternative, dry cold laser. We're going to see you guys soon for season two of the Dr. Alex Show. So what's going on there is the GI tract, which is one of the hubs of the immune system, is over time in of itself getting out of balance. And that is leading to an out of balance immune system. And that out of a balance immune system can be the correct, or not correct is not the right word to say, the foundation to what's needed to build an autoimmune response. So then you move into this autoimmune reactivity, which means you're starting to have the numbers get out of range and your symptoms aren't full-fledged. So you can't check all the boxes and you can't be, quote, diagnosed yet. So what do? Do you start taking health into your own hands in the silent stage or the autoimmune reactivity stage? I'd say, yeah. And a lot of it just means you have to be doing the things that we all know we should be doing. Eat the foods that your mom told you should eat. Exercise as much as everyone else has told you to exercise. Take care of yourself spiritually and emotionally. And a lot of this can be pretty well managed. But then the next stage is full-blown autoimmunity. And that's where we have all the symptoms, we have all the check boxes on the labs, and everything lines up, and there's your diagnosis. But this is a process, and if we can catch the process sooner than later, then the management gets to be a lot easier. And to an extent, you could put this into, quote, remission and really not have any issues. What I will say with this, though, is unless someone's listening and they know of otherwise, there is no cure for autoimmunity. So I would express some caution if someone says, I'm a so-and-so practitioner and I cure this autoimmune disease or these diseases. Tread lightly, because if that is the case, they need to be sharing with the world exactly what they're doing and all of the fun research behind of what they're doing. And they should get the Nobel Peace Prize. And on top of that, they should be on every major national news outlet to make sure the world, at least the United States, where we're from, because I can speak to the healthy United States, not the entire world, knows about the option for these people and not keep them in the dark, if you will. So when you go through these stages, the earlier you can get this, the better. And when we say this all starts in the gut, it all starts with a little of that leaky gut. That's that term that's really getting tossed around in the last, I'd say, 10 years in the functional medicine world. And especially in the last couple of years, a lot of public have really grown to understand it. So what happens with a leaky gut is when we're stressed out, our gut takes a hit for various purposes. It just takes a beating. On top of that, our brain takes a beating. And there's more neurons in our gut than our brain, that at least that I'm aware of. So essentially, stress, chronic recurring stress, really beats up on our nervous systems, if you want to make the gut its own nervous system, if you will. So what'll happen is the gut becomes a little bit more porous than it should, and it'll let things out into the bloodstream that shouldn't be there. So the whole purpose of the gut is to break food down into the smallest bits and pieces, so that way when it goes out in the bloodstream, it is going to go into various organs for usage, particularly the liver, for manufacturing of proteins and hormones and other substances the body needs. But if the gut's a little bit more porous than it should be, then it's going to let things through that shouldn't be getting out into the bloodstream. So let's say we have not as well broken down food, or if we have environmental compounds that we're constantly exposed to today, especially in the States, where we have metals and plastics, like on my computer. We have various chemicals and compounds on our furniture. We have various things that we breathe in. These are all things that our body, for the most part, can detoxify. There are things that do stick and stay in our system. And with that, I can maybe talk about that later, but when it comes to a lot of these compounds, our body can and does get rid of it. It's what it's supposed to do. But if they are pretty big in nature and the immune system doesn't recognize it, food that's not fully digested or environmental compounds, then if it happens again and again and the stress continues to build and the substance is continuing to get into the bloodstream, then the immune system is going to make an antibody towards it and it's going to fight it. It's going to be like, game on, let's go after this. So the next step of all of this is, you know, what happens? Like, how does undigested food or particles in the immune system or in the bloodstream, how does that turn into making antibodies, which turns into attacking the body? So you can have antibodies, for instance, towards gluten. Gluten's a hot topic, and it has been for quite some time. And let's say someone is sensitive to gluten, and let's say even that they're not sensitive to gluten yet. The gluten or the undigested particles of gluten will get into the bloodstream, and from there, the immune system recognizes it as something that it doesn't want there, so it's created an antibody towards gluten, and it's going to start going after it, and it creates an inflammatory response. Inflammation sets in the body, and we end up having a further teetering of our teeter-totter. We are starting to gain more weight on one side. Not good. And the immune system goes more and more out of whack. Well, where we get into the nitty-gritty dorky details here is that the gluten, under a microscope, if you look at the amino acid sequence of what makes up gluten, for just for simplicity's sake, let's say the amino acid sequence for gluten is ABCD. And the immune system has made an antibody to go after gluten, which includes this ABCD sequence. Well, with enough time going on, which could be decades, after eating the gluten, the immune system's like, you know what? I am tired of fighting this. I'm going to go after anything that looks and smells and acts like gluten because I just want to nuke it and wipe it out. So then this is what we call molecular mimicry. So let's say the amino acid sequence for some of your thyroid tissue or protein, your carrying proteins or your hormone for your thyroid hormone, sorry, has an amino acid sequence of ABC capital P. And with that, the immune system's like, close enough for government work. I'm going to go after it. We're going to wipe it out. Well, this is how autoantibodies are created. It generally starts with in things from the environment, food, compounds, you name it. Molecular mimicry kicks in. We mixed in with, the leaky gut. So then the molecular mimicry kicks in, and it's going to make an antibody to go after the thyroid or related tissue. Let's say in this case, then maybe it's ABCD and then it goes ABCDD, close enough for government work, let's do it. That could be your cerebellum. A lot of times, people with Hashimoto's thyroiditis have cerebellar antibodies, meaning it's going, the antibodies have been, there have been antibodies developed to go after their brain, go after their cerebellum. And just pick your tissue, and this is what occurs with autoimmunity. So then, this at this point, if we have some antibodies that are being created for going after brain tissue or going after thyroid tissue or whatever it is, let's say you don't have all the symptoms, then you can be in reactivity and you're starting to feel crummy, don't really know what's going on, things come and go, you have good days, bad days, good seasons, good bad seasons. Doctors don't really have it figured out. You might stumble into a functional medicine office or otherwise, and they run some tests and they be like, yeah, you're developing autoimmunity. That's what's going on. So then what do you do about all this? Well, the best thing is you kind of work in reverse. And with the symptoms, there are great supplements and diet changes to help combat the symptoms. So with some supplements at HML for sure, we'll just tell you, man, it is definitely just a Band-Aid. This is meant to support you, keep you upright, keep you going while we figure things out. So then the next step is let's do antibody testing for foods, food sensitivity testing. And this is where the rubber meets the road on treatment. And food sensitivity testing is a little misunderstood. And what I want to say is that conventional laboratories like LabCorp and Quest, they'll run only antibodies called IgG antibodies. That's only one of three antibodies that can be created for a sensitivity towards gluten or any other food. So what we use with our testing is Cyrex Labs, CYREXLabs.com, and it runs a food sensitivity panel for all antibodies, all antibody types, for a lot of the regular daily eaten foods. And it looks at cooked and uncooked versions of those foods because proteins change in food when you cook them. And then there's a whole nother panel for gluten. There's a whole nother panel for dairy. And they have a whole panel just for leaky gut. They have antibodies that you can test for kind of more of a quote traditional leaky gut where there's no autoimmunity. And then you have antibodies that can be developed towards autoimmune gastrointestinal issues towards leaky gut. So then what we're doing there is we're figuring out what the person's triggers are. And this can be done with foods, environmental compounds, anything in the person's environment. Whatever they respond to, get it out of their environment. That's going to help level out the immune system and lose some weight on one side. All the while, we might be trying to support their immune system and give them compounds to even things out and work on the gut. And personally, when I work on the gut in the office, I've really moved almost away from using substances to repair the gut, like heavy doses of glutamine. A lot of people know me as an Apex Energetics junkie. And for instance, Apex Energetics was one of the few people in the market 10 years ago that had really great products for leaky gut. Nothing against the products, still use them, but a lot of the people we work on, we'll just bring on the laser and we'll use our shed light laser on these guys. And I'm holding it right now, for instance, and I'll put it right on the gut and we'll put it on various settings and that light will go into the GI tract and it'll start repairing. And it's a beautiful thing because I can constantly check on my autoimmune patients while we're sitting in the office. They might be on our rolling massage bed and I could have one, two, three, or even all four of our lasers on their gut. And that will be deflaming the gut. It'll help with time level out that teeter-totter and it'll help repair it. If you have autoimmune leaky gut, again, that's not anything that can be cured per se. So you have to watch that word again when it comes out immunity. But we like to use the laser on this because it is huge to go and work on the gut and even it out with supplements. But when someone's already spending a lot of money coming into doctor's offices to manage this, because it kind of takes a village to work with anything autoimmunity at times, or they just have to spend a lot of money to go see practitioners like us, because sometimes insurance doesn't pay for this, then why have them spend $200, $300, $400, $500 on supplements to help their gut when you can do it very quickly and easier and with less potential side effects? Because some of those products you can get pretty aggressive with, and it can disrupt bowel movements and it can disrupt their days. Anyway, let the lasers do their work. So with that said, this is a big thanks to Shed Light Cold Lasers too, because they're a sponsor, and I would not be having the success with my autoimmune patients in office when I see them regularly if we didn't have this. So this is a huge tool. And if you're out there listening, if you're out there listening and you need some autoimmune support, or you want to have some sort of new treatment, then look up shedlightcoldlasers.com. Talk to Dr. Griswold. See if you can find a practitioner in your area, or just contact us. We'll help you find someone. You can even just buy these things just straight from Dr. Griswold himself, and pick it up for yourself, and they will walk you through using it. And you can use it on your own autoimmune situations. You can use it on your family. Very versatile health tool. The cool thing is it's like not even 6 inches long, maybe 6 inches long. I constantly have one of these in my pocket. I go home with them all the time, and I don't even mean to, because I just walk around the office with these things in my pocket because I use it for everything. So the biggest thing here, the big takeaway with autoimmunity is it's a process. It takes a long time to develop. If you are someone who is experiencing oddball symptoms and you're not getting answers from your PC or the various specialists or ists, as I like to say out there, then consider looking into someone who does functional medicine testing or functional medicine work that will help figure out maybe it's autoimmunity, maybe it's not. And you can learn quite a bit at even Dr. Karazian's websites. If you look up Dr. Datis Karazian, I believe one of his websites is drkblog.com. He has quite a bit of information out about autoimmunity. He does a lot of research in this world alongside of Dr. Vigiani. If I said that correctly, I'm sorry, Doc, if I did not. And Dr. Vigiani is the man who holds quite a few patents, and he's the one who's done a lot of the discovery research on how the immune system works and autoimmunity in general. And he's the one who's really trailblazing the way on understanding what these autoantibodies are doing and what it means at certain levels and how to help manage it and all that good stuff. But again, it's a process, takes time. If you have odd symptoms, get checked out, especially if you have a kiddo who is having symptoms that wax and wane. Or it could be anything, any symptoms that come and go, or if they are especially psychiatric symptoms that come and go, can't be explained, you've seen all the specialists, try going more of a holistic route and check out any functional medicine practitioner. This is not an official endorsement, but great functional medicine practitioners come out of the Institute of Functional Medicine, and as well as Functional Medicine University. You can look those up and find practitioners. Or if you need help finding someone, go ahead and hit us up. Otherwise, this is what I got for today. I hope that this was informative and it helped people understand things, because autoimmunity is odd, especially in the States. We don't really have anyone to help out with all of this. So it's an ongoing process to be able to get things figured out. And these things are only on the rise, especially after COVID. People are long hauling and having immune system issues, and it's triggering a lot of the same areas of the immune system that give rise to autoimmunity. So these things are potentially only going to be worse. But we'll see you guys soon. And any show requests, go ahead and let us know. Check out other sponsor, hmlfunctionalcare.com. See you guys soon. We'll be right back.